You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of the Lord.
In the rugged, desolate country along the Dead Sea, hidden in the caves of En Gedi, David spent many days avoiding Saul and writing and meditating on the Psalms. Today on Through the Bible, Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us through some of these Psalms that he describes as delightful. I'm Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another meaningful study in God's Word. Now as we start, here's Dr. McGee with a message that gives you maybe a little more perspective on our mission to take God's whole Word to His whole world.
The title of this editorial we've written is Communication. And we've headed that with Psalm 68:11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. The present condition of the world has been brought about largely by the advanced methods of communication and transportation. Whether that is good or bad is not the subject of this brief epistle. The ability to communicate is one of the talents that God has given to man. And like other talents, it comes in degrees. Some possess this talent to a greater degree than others. Every human being can communicate, even the deaf and dumb. At the Tower of Babel, God slowed down the ability to communicate. He had given to man a language, and now that language is mixed up. It's put in the mixer, and it made it difficult at the Tower of Babel to communicate. I can well understand that one man speaks to another in Swahili, and he answers back in Outer Mongolian. I'm sure that they had a little difficulty of understanding, and they at least left off building the Tower of Babel and began to scatter over the earth. He did it to prevent man in sin from plunging the entire race into open rebellion against God. The Babel syndrome raised natural borders and barriers. It permitted God to deal with one segment of the human race at a time in order to provide a deliverance for man from the shackles of sin. After the salvation was provided, then God instructed man to take this so great salvation to the entire world, beginning at Jerusalem, on to Judea, on to Samaria, and finally on to the ends of the earth. After almost 2,000 years, this instruction should have been carried out, and the entire world should have heard in their mother tongue. The facts are that there are more unsaved in the world than when Christ first came. The corollary is likewise true. There are more Christians in the world than at any other period in the history of the world. This condition is one of the factors that make it imperative for those who have heard and believed to hasten and attempt to enlarge the process of getting out the Word of God. The language barrier is still a formidable hurdle to clear. It has been a tedious job of getting the Bible translated into other languages. It's almost impossible to get the whole Bible into all the languages of the world. Tremendous strides have been made by faithful missionaries. The task is not hopeless, neither are Christians helpless. Not only are there translators for most of the major languages of the world, but God has provided a tool to enable a Christian to reach the world. That tool is radio. The translator and the radio do not complete the process. There must be a communication and a communicator. The entire Bible must be taught. The communication must be put in a language that those who hear it in their own tongue might hear and believe. This is where the Through the Bible radio comes in. We provide the communication and the communicator. Christian radio provides the tool and the follow-up. Another factor is that Christian radio alone can reach the 3/5 of the world's population that are back of some sort of a curtain. The listener in this country can have a part in this tremendous enterprise of getting out the Word of God. Funds must be provided to complete the process. All Christians can have a part. The listener should be sure that the whole Word is given and that there is a response. The listener alone can prevent the great door of opportunity from becoming another religious racket. The communication and the communicator are essential to this process. You can go to the world now. Do you have something to say? The world is listening. Hard rock music and a soft, watered-down message is not what the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind when he said, "Go ye into all the world." And a seminar on marriage is not a substitute for the direct order, "Preach the word," not from the word or about the word, but preach the word.
To pray and partner with us as we get God's Word out in more than 200 languages worldwide, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org/give. And let's go before the Lord now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word that reaches into lives all over the world. May it find its way into our hearts today too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Buckle your belts. We're ready to take off for Psalm 56 through 60 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to another delightful little cluster of Psalms, five of them, from Psalm 56 to 60. And they're all known as Miktam Psalms. You'll notice that each one of them is that way. For instance, Psalm 56, the first one, "To the chief musician upon Jonath-Elam Rehoboam." And it's a Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now, this is a Miktam psalm. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word means engraven. And actually, it speaks of that which is substantial, that which is durable, that which is fixed. You remember David said, "My heart is fixed." Now, that's a Miktam, by the way. It means unmovable and steadfast and lasting stability and permanency and endurance. It has all of these meanings. These are wonderful psalms. And this first one now, the Miktam Psalms, Dalich called it the cheerful courage of a fugitive. And you'll recall that in the last psalm, David talked about that if he only had the wings of a dove so he could fly away, lodge in the wilderness. In this psalm, the desire is realized, and the enemy's outside, and there's great danger, and the wicked's on every side. And in all of that, why, God delivered him. And, of course, the historical background is that the Philistines had taken him at Gath, that is, had captured David. And David's experience is written out here. Now, that experience is a picture of the Great Tribulation period again. All of these psalms have that prophetic look. And between the historical and the prophetic, between David's experience and the experience of those in the future, it has a real message for us today. And it speaks to our own hearts. For all of these psalms do that. And I'm going to read now a translation here. It's not one of the public translations. It's a private translation made by a man whom I respect a great deal. And I'm reading this translation. You follow in your text. "Be gracious unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. throughout the day fighting, he oppresseth me. They are watching me and would swallow me up the whole day. For many are they that fight against me in pride. David, you see, surrounded by the enemy. Seems to be on a hot seat and in a bad spot. Then what's he going to do in a case like this? Well, he says, when I was afraid. Was David afraid? He certainly was. Are you afraid? I had a couple say to me, they heard me make the statement that when I go by plane, I don't enjoy the trip. There's a fear in my heart. And they thought there's something wrong with my faith in God. My friend, may I say to you, fear will bring out faith in your life. Listen to David. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And I'm afraid these people today that sit back comfortably and say, well, you know, I haven't any fear. Well, that may mean that you really are insensitive to what the circumstances really are and the problem really is. Or it may be a foolish sort of a faith. But David said, I'm afraid. And in these circumstances, David was afraid. What did he do? Why, he says, I'll trust in thee. I'm going to trust the Lord. Can you fear and have faith at the same time? Because the scripture says, perfect love casteth out all fear. Love will do it, but you can still have faith and still be afraid. I hope that'll be a comfort to some folk today, because there's a lot of foolish things being said that actually are not scriptural. Then down in this psalm, and I'm going to drop down now, there's a very wonderful statement made, and it's down in verse 8. Will you notice this? This is a very wonderful thing. He says here, thou countest my wanderings. The Lord knows about every trip you make. I have thought of that a great deal since I've been studying the Psalms this time, because since I've retired, I've been going from place to place. And I sometimes ask my wife, I said, what did I speak about when we were in this certain place in Ohio, or down in Florida, or back in Texas, or up in the state of Washington, or out in the Hawaiian Islands? I forget what I was speaking about. And then she'll tell me. The Lord's got all that written down. If I could just have access to his book, it'd be great. Notice what he says. Thou countest my wanderings. My tears have been put into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, you'll find a note in this New Scofield Bible that says sometimes in olden days in the East, mourners would catch their tears in bottles, that is, water skins, and place them at the tombs of their loved ones, you know, to show how much they grieve. Well, let me add something to that that John Bunyan, the tinker of Bedford, has said, and I think this is wonderful. He said this, and I'm quoting now, God preserves our tears in a bottle so that he can wipe them away someday. You know, friend, when I read that, I wish I'd cried more. We need to weep more, because God keeps them in a bottle and he's going to wipe them away someday. How wonderful this is. And then he goes on to say, which is very wonderful here, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Someone wrote and said to me, you make too much of the Bible. You're everlastingly talking about the word of God. That's what David did. He said, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Well, there's so few that are praising the word of God, I want to make up for them. So I'm praising God for his word. And then he says, I'll not be afraid what man can do unto me. And wonderful to have a resource and a recourse to God. And here he says, the last verse, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now, David said, and especially after his sin, David said, I want to walk before God that I don't slip up again. And as far as the record is concerned, David didn't slip up again. Now, the king of Babylon committed that kind of sin every day of the year. It was old hat for him, but not for David. And David says, I want to walk before God. And today, you and I are enjoined to walk in the Spirit. God has given us not just a walking stick, more than that. To walk in the Spirit means to be utterly and absolutely dependent upon the Spirit of God. And this, my friend, gets right down where the rubber meets the road. It means to get down and practice this, as we saw in Galatians. It means get down out of your high chair and start walking. You're going to fall on your head, going to hurt yourself. Sure you are, but you're going to learn to walk if you attempt to walk in the Spirit of God. Commit yourself to Him every day. This is a wonderful psalm, a Miktam psalm. Now we come to the second Miktam psalm, and that's Psalm 57. And that has an added title. It is called Al-Tasheth. Al-Tasheth. And what does that mean? That means destroy not. And that has a very wonderful meaning as we get into this psalm here. And we're told that it's to the chief musician, Al-Tasheth, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Now, David spent time in the caves that were along the Dead Sea, down at En-Gedi. I was there in May. I didn't want to be down there in summer. It's a very hot spot below sea level. And it's a very delightful place, I would say, in wintertime. And David spent time in the caves up there. That's rugged country. And the cave of Adullam is up in that area also. Now, it's the belief of many expositors that this has reference to the cave of Adullam. And here is where David meditated on many of these psalms which he composed. And the sufferings of David are here, and they foreshadowed the sufferings of Christ. And again, looking on to the godly remnant during the time of Jacob's trouble. And they speak to us today. That's the wonder of the Word of God. Now, will you notice? Be merciful unto me, O God, be gracious to me. I don't know about you today, but that's my prayer. I want God to be merciful to me. I don't want Him to be just with me and righteous, because if He does, I'm going to get a whipping. I want Him to be merciful unto me, and I want Him to be gracious to me. And He's that kind of a God. He's rich in mercy. He's got enough for me, got enough for you too. And I take up a whole lot of it, by the way. Now, will you notice? For in thee hath my soul taken refuge, and in the shadow of thy wings will I find shelter. Now, here is a very wonderful psalm. David is saying here, in the shadow of thy wings will I find shelter. Now, David found that. This nation didn't. The Lord Jesus said to them in Matthew 23:37, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. And today, are we willing to come under His wings? That means to be obedient unto Him, you see. And it means we're to love Him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it means to walk again in the Spirit. Now, there's some wonderful statements here. It says, He shall send from the heavens and save me. And then again, He says, God shall send forth His loving kindness and His truth. Aren't those wonderful statements? And He says, my soul is among lions. Satan goes up and down this world like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he has a lot of little lions, too, that are helping him. Now he says here, and remember, these Miktam psalms have to do with that which is permanent, that which is durable, that which is substantial, that which is lasting. David says here, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. Verse 7. And then down to the next verse, he says, I will wake the morning dawn. What a beautiful, wonderful expression that is. I will wake the morning dawn. The night is over now. And the night of sin and of suffering and of Satan's rule is over now. And the morning is come. And the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in His wings. What a wonderful psalm this is. Now I come to the 58th psalm. And this psalm that we have is another Al-Tasheth psalm, as well as being a Miktam psalm. Now, it means this is something that is substantial and durable, and it means destroy not. And again, will you notice, this is a question, and who asks it? Bishop Horn thought that God was the one that asked this question here. And it goes like this: is righteousness indeed silent? Do ye judges speak it? Do ye with uprightness judge the children of man? You know, the Lord's going to call on the judges to turn in their report to him someday. And it is apparently God speaking now using the pen of David, of course. Now we come down to a prayer here, and it's an imprecatory prayer. He's speaking about these enemies that are about him, that work. They're like a serpent, and they are those that are his enemies that seek to destroy him. And he asks six things, that is, six destructions he prays for here. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O God. Now, the enemy was like a lion. And I don't know about you. Somebody says a Christian can't pray this prayer. I pray the Lord is going to absolutely deal with Satan. And he's the roaring lion. I hope God breaks his teeth, my friend. I don't consider that unchristian at all. And David was speaking of his enemies in that day, and he's under law. He's asking for justice. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Now he says, using another figure of speech, let them melt away like waters which run continually. Why, the wickedness was like a flood. And now he asks God, let that flood of wickedness just melt away. And then the third one, when he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. And he's like a marksman that is shooting at him, you see. What a picture that you have here. And then we have another picture that's given. Like a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. That's the fourth one. And the snail here is apparently an unusual snail in that country. And that snail under the sun would absolutely be melted. But the snail goes through and leaves his slimy trail. And David says, evaporate him. Get rid of that slimy trail through the world today. And then we find the fifth thing here, like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. That is, may they not come to fruition in the things that they plan in the evil room of their minds. May it come to naught. And now the sixth and last figure of speech he uses, he says, before your pots can feel the burning thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. You gather together these thorns to put under the pot to heat it, and a wind comes along and blows them away. And he says, oh God, remove them before they can do their dirty work, before they can burn and sear. I think this is a tremendous prayer. Now the next prayer, which is Psalm 59, it's also a miktam and an al-tasheth of David, and it's along the same line. And prophetically, this psalm describes the suffering remnant during the tribulation surrounded by enemies. I'll not go into detail there. Then the 60th is the last of these miktam psalms. And it is a time when actually David was victorious. He was victorious over his enemies. That is, the Edomites were defeated in a great slaughter. And this is a picture of the deliverance that God is going to give to his people someday. Oh God, thou hast cast off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been angry, restore us again. And now there is that cry in verse 6. Here's the answer. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will exalt, I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth, and so on. What a glorious, wonderful thing is. And how will it be accomplished? Who will bring me into the fortified city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who didst cast us off? In other words, God will restore them. God will restore his saints today, though they be in trouble and difficulty and even in sin. God will restore them. My, isn't God good? May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Explore resources that will help you deepen your study of God's Word at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time as the Bible Bus continues through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study is at 7:30 p.m. And that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I'll repeat that number, 732-434-2231. Our church services start at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday sharp. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we praise the Lord once again. We thank Minister Gloria for those encouraging words and the location of the church and what's going on there in Melbourne. If you ever come into the area there and you hear a whole lot of shouting and praising the Lord, that is who we are. That's what's going on. We're glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you this morning in the most holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this glorious opportunity just to be alive, to just speak your word. We thank you for your word. We don't handle your word deceitfully, but we handle your word with courage and with grace and mercy and thankfulness, because without you we could do nothing. So we put our hearts and our trust in you today, Lord, that those that have tuned into the broadcast, that they would receive your word and give you the praise and honor and glory. Because we dare not attempt to take anything for granted, nor take credit for what we are doing. It's all because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you so much this glorious day, because this is the day that you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people out there in Radio Land, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at the book of James. Praise God. We want to look at a little faith here. Praise God. Well, I shouldn't say a little faith. I should say faith. Because all it takes is the faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can grab or hold on or receive whatever you need from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you, today it is something that we all desire to have and to thank the Lord for everything that he has done for us. Praise God. We want to look at James there, first of all. And James started out, glory to God, with a desire, if you, he didn't genderize anything. He just said, if any of you, now that has to be clarified there, if any of you lack wisdom, if you're destitute, don't have the wisdom of God, he said in the word here, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. This is where we get our wisdom from. The word of God tells us, well, there are two kinds of wisdom, but first of all, we're speaking as James is saying here, the wisdom of God is who we're requesting, praise God. And we don't do this every day that we read the scripture, because once we receive it by faith, we have it. But the scripture also tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it out liberally. In other words, it's free. Praise God. And upbraid it not, and he will give it to you.
Amen.
Praise God. Now that is where our faith lies. When we ask God for wisdom, we must believe that we have received what we ask our Heavenly Father.
Praise God.
Because we belong to him. We are his children. If you are born again, we are his children. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you know, this faith, when we ask God for something, The scripture tells us in Mark 11 and verse 25, I think it is 24. You want to read that, praise God. Because it is not just the pronunciation of words, which a lot of folks today are saying yes and quoting the scripture, but they don't have the faith to believe and receive what the word is saying to us. We must believe. The word of God tells us, if you come to God, you must believe. Without faith, you cannot please him. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, Minister Glory, read that verse of scripture.
Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
That is a strong exercise of faith. Praise God. We must believe when we ask God, because he's God of faith.
Amen.
And without faith, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it's impossible for us to please him. And most of us, during the course of the day, we ask the Lord for certain things, and then if it doesn't come when we really want it to come, or feel that it should be present, then what happens is that then we stop believing and we start moving into the doubt, saying, oh, well, it's not going to happen. Maybe there's some other way. No, we must be steadfast in the request that we ask our Heavenly Father. Because delay does not mean that he has denied you or me. We must just hold fast. Glory to God. Hold fast to the profession of our faith. Amen. Without wavering. Praise God. So James is saying here, in James 1 and verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, he proposed the question, is any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He didn't say, well, go and pray, ask someone to pray for you that you have wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Ask God. Mm-hmm. Who gives it out liberally and upbraideth not. And he shall give it. He'll give it to you.
Praise God.
Praise God. But we must ask in faith.
Amen. Praise God.
We must ask in faith. You want to read that next verse?
So, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Well, you know, when you waver, that means you're vacillating. You're going back and forth. You're not certain that, well, today I have victory. Tomorrow, I don't have victory. And today I have my needs met. Tomorrow, I'm suffering lack. No, that is not faith. And this is for us all.
Amen.
Praise God. We are to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Praise God. So James says that when we waver like that, that we're going back and forth. Minister Glory, you want to read that again? Praise God.
Because let him ask in faith, nothing wavering.
All right. Let him ask in faith. And we all have defined what faith is. It's very easy to look at the scriptures and say, well, faith is a present reality. There's no doubt about that. But we look at the scripture and say, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, that is a valid statement. It is true. It is what the word of God says. But the most important thing is that when we quote that verse of scripture, do we really believe or understand what we are literally saying when we quote that verse of scripture? Faith is. Well, I tell you, faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I receive.
Amen.
And I speak what I believe.
Praise God.
Praise God. So what he says is that we are to not waver when we ask for this wisdom. Because we know that God will give it to us.
Yes.
We know that God hears what we're talking about.
Yes.
And he will give it to us. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Providing that we are obedient.
Amen. That's the word.
That we are obedient. Mm-hmm. Now, the scripture doesn't say obedient, but we know that if we're obedient, we will receive what our Heavenly Father wants us to have.
Amen.
Praise God. Because there's a verse of scripture that tells us that. And I remember speaking on that. And there was a sister that left the church because she said, "Well, Pastor, says, you don't have to be obedient and God is still blessing you." I said, "Well, that is not true. You know, that is not true." The word of God tells us in Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Amen. You want to read that, Minister Glory? Praise God. We'll come back to James in a moment, but since I made a statement, I want to kind of validate it so that you can see it and hear it in your word. Because if I'm telling or saying something and you cannot find it in the word of God, then it's not God, it's me. It's my preference, and I don't want to do that. Praise God. The word of God is too precious to try and make it say what you wanted to say. No, the scriptures are clear. And we should be able to say what our Heavenly Father said. Praise God.
He says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen.
But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Now see, this is the word, and this is what was said. And it was really hard for that individual to ingest what the scripture saying, but we believe what the word of God says is that if it's written, I believe it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And that settles.
Mm-hmm.
Because amen. God spoke his word. He spoke it before it was written. Praise God. And then once it's written, and now it's where we are able to receive it and believe it. Praise God. So faith. Minister Glory, there's also, as a child of God, and when we're talking about faith, we're talking about faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Glory to God. If we can manipulate and use our own ability to try and achieve what we need, then what happened is that then it's not God that's doing it, it's us.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we need to be extremely careful concerning what we're talking about and how we're doing what we're talking about. Because the word of God, as James has said, is that we are not to waver.
No.
But our faith has to be in what God's word says.
Amen.
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 What God's word says. That's where our faith has to be in. And a lot of time people are saying things and it's not, you don't find it in the word of God. It's their own preference. But that's something else that that person has to deal with when he stands before the master. Because I tell you, every one of us is going to stand before the master and tell him all about what we were doing.
That's right.
With the name that he allowed us to use to preach his word. Praise God. So James says, we are not to waver, right?
Nope, not to waver.
And when we waver, what takes place?
Like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Praise God. Other words, going back and forth.
Back and forth.
And there are times when we hear people say, well, yesterday I'm blessed of the Lord, and tomorrow they are defeated. So that's someone that is wavering. But thank God for his grace. We all need the grace of God.
Amen.
And more grace of God. Because what we have, we don't deserve. And it's because God is doing it for us. Praise God. He is doing it. So James said, don't waver. So when you waver, you're like a ship being tossed to and fro. But then, not only that, there's another area that James is dealing with. And Minister Glory, would you like to read it?
And for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
So the word of God, we must believe what we are saying. Because if we don't believe it, we are not going to receive anything. Does it say anything?
Mm-hmm.
It says anything of the Lord.
Anything of the Lord.
And what is anything?
Anything.
praise God. So you won't receive anything of the Lord. So that tells us that our faith, we must be solid in our faith and believe what we're saying and holding fast to it, because God is not blessing folks that are, today they have victory, tomorrow they are defeated. No, that's not how faith works. We hold fast to what we believe, and we know that God is coming across in his own time to give us what we desire.
Right.
Matter of fact, Minister Gloria, there's another verse of scripture here. If you want to look at 1 John 5 and verse 14, praise God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Because what happened is that when this faith is what we ought to speak and act upon and believe, praise God. Because if we believe it, we will speak it.
Amen.
And if we speak it, it's a heart issue. We have it in our heart. As the psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, I tell you, it's powerful when we know that the word is faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, as Jesus.
Yes.
That if we, as the qualifier, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, as in faith, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
Well, if we know that he hears us, we don't have to keep bombarding God and saying, well, listen, you say, although he said to bring to his remembrance.
Yes.
Now, it's not that God doesn't know or he forgets things.
Mm-mm.
But that's what he said in the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Well, I tell you something, that faith, when we speak faith, we have to believe what the word of God says. We are not to waver, as what James said, praise God. And we must believe, because what happened is that if we are not operating by faith, the scripture tells us through James, the Lord's brother,
mm-hmm.
that let not that man think that he should receive anything of the Lord. So if we don't do it by faith, we won't receive anything of the Lord. And Minister Gloria just quoted moments ago there that and this is the confidence that we have if we ask anything according to his will,
mm-hmm.
that he hears us, praise
right.
God, amen. And so forth. Well, we thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because God is not dealing with, you know, when you vacillate and go back and forth, that's like a person with two minds,
right.
You know?
Yes.
It's double-mindedness.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked to people today, well, they're blessed, and they said, well, they're blessed and highly favored and so forth. And then you talk to them again and say, well, I'm going through this. Well, you cannot have victory and defeat at the same time. And I'm quite sure as a child of God, we are all victorious. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is victorious.
Yes, he is.
And we're in him.
That's right.
And he is in us. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So you have a verse of scripture?
Well, you know, in John 15 and 7, it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, mm-hmm. you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Praise God. Well, we're asking by faith.
That's right.
Or in faith.
Right.
Believing that the request that we present to our Heavenly Father,
mm-hmm.
that we will believe what we're asking.
Amen.
You know, it's easy to say these things too, you know, because a lot of times pronouncing the words and saying, well, yeah, well, I've done this, that, and the other. But do you really believe?
Amen.
The only one that knows whether you believe is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And not only that, and eventually you will know whether you believe. Because James says,
mm-hmm.
let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord if he's not asking in faith.
True.
Amen.
Amen.
I wonder how many of us on a day-to-day basis we ask the Lord for something, and if it doesn't show up at our time, we start thinking otherwise.
Yes.
Has it ever happened to you?
Yes, it has.
Praise God. It happened to all of us. And the thing is that we just have to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry because I've asked for this, and it's coming in your time. You know exactly when. And there's an old expression there. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be right on time. Amen. And God knows when to bring forth. And I tell you something, Mr. Gordon. If I look back at the years, the early part of my ministry, the ministry that the Lord has blessed me with, that if he had given me everything that I'd asked for at that time, I probably wouldn't have been able to deal with it. Now that I'm looking at this thing, it takes time.
Yeah,
praise God.
It does.
And a lot of times, people want to jump in and say, well, yeah, I asked the Lord for this. You have to prepare, and God does the preparation through and by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Praise
so James, it's amazing. James is saying here that if you don't ask in faith, then you're not going to get anything from God.
You don't receive anything of the Lord.
Isn't that what he says?
That's what it says.
Say, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And the reason being is because there's a double-mindedness.
Yes, it is.
Double-minded. And there are a lot of double-minded people today. You know? if I say that I'm blessed.
Yes, you are blessed.
I am blessed.
Because the word says it.
Praise God. I'm blessed.
Amen. Regardless, you're blessed.
But I won't let the circumstances speak for me. Amen. I'll let the word of God speak for me. Praise God. And the word says that I'm blessed. And therefore I say, I believe and I receive and therefore I speak.
Yes.
I'm blessed. And I pray to God that all out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast, no matter where you are, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And I want to tell you that if you've heard what I've just said, that you're blessed today, tomorrow, it does not matter the circumstances, you are still blessed because God said it.
Right.
And God cannot lie.
No, he cannot.
Praise God. He cannot lie.
No, he cannot.
Mr. Lewis, there's a verse of scripture there where it talks about in Hebrews 6 and verse 18. There, praise God. You know, there's a strong consolation. Mr. Lewis, you want to read that?
18. It says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
You might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Praise God. Well, I tell you, God cannot lie.
No, he cannot.
If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Amen.
Amen.
God is not like man. Glory to God that he should lie.
That's right.
In Numbers 23 and verse 19.
Right.
Praise God. It's all through the scriptures here because the Bible tells us. I was reading in the book of Isaiah, and it says line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Well, I tell you, the word of God is true. No matter where we find it, it is true. But I want to tell you today that don't be double-mindedness. Don't have two minds. Only one mind. That's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
In,
you want to read
in
that?
Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless. Ooh, glory. And he has blessed and cannot reverse it.
Isn't that something? Well, you're blessed.
That's right.
I call you blessed out there in Radio Land.
Amen.
That believe what the Word of God said.
Amen.
By faith, I call it you blessed.
Amen.
Praise God. I don't call you distressed. I call you blessed. I call you that believe and have received the Word of God that you are blessed beyond measures. Jesus said that he come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
He wants to bless you. Praise God continuously. And Apostle Paul says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
That's right.
in Christ Jesus.
Well,
I thank you. Praise God today. And Minister Gloria is going to tell us how we can continue to keep the singleness of heart.
Amen.
Where the body will be full of light.
Mm-hmm.
And our heart will be on the word of God.
Amen. Romans 10 and 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus. And shall
God.
Believe in thine heart. That God had raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved.
Yes.
But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm a whosoever. And there are many whosoevers out there. So whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, God bless you all. Stay continuously tuning into this broadcast each and every Tuesday between the hours of 10 to 10:30, and you will be blessed because I call you blessed. God calls you blessed, and the word of God says that you're blessed. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.